slept for a couple hours too.
I almost didn't sleep today, dude. It was so bad.
My cat's kept fucking up the windows. It's not happy. Working that night shift life, yo.
One of the blue totes, one of the wires was poking out. Oh, the lid flips.
Freaking hate that.
It got me so good, dude. It hurt. I had a little lip.
Yeah. I've bled through my pants because of those bitches.
I've ripped pants.
Yep, I've lost pants to those damn things.
Shh. That's why.
Truth. I love you.
Bye.
Okay, he left. Let's talk about some dead bitches.
We had to wait for him to leave?
No. He'll always ask me, he's like, so tell me about your case, and then I'll start to tell him, he's like, my stomach hurts. And I'm like, really? It's not even that bad. Okay. Sorry. The fuck? Okay. So, we had some feedback about Holly being quiet. So, Holly, you're gonna talk this time, right? Like, nice
and close. Hello. And not whisper?
Not whisper, no.
Not whisper, okay. Won't whisper.
I'm gonna sit back because maybe it's not that you were quiet, maybe it's just that I was loud and they were just too nice to say.
No, because I listened to it too, and I mean it's more so it's
honestly I was hoping it was just because like maybe I sat it down wrong. The fuck. Like both of the cats just went running.
Assholes.
Those cats are gonna kill me one of these days. Oh, hey, by the way, just in case you didn't know, welcome to Casual Casualties, where we talk about casualties.
Casually.
I'm Bree.
And I'm Holly.
And we're back. We didn't scare off Holly last time. I was for sure concerned that she never wanted to talk to us again.
I was most definitely still scared. But, you know, I have issues, so I still came back.
Ah.
I always come back.
Masochist.
Fact.
I didn't expect you to agree with that.
Smile
so
that
thoroughly.
Yes, Brie. Yes. Yes, please. Twice.
No. Okay. That's what you have a girlfriend for. I am predisposed.
That's what they all say. Sorry, babe.
Holly, are you trying to seduce me?
Do I have to try, though?
What is up with my co-hosts and trying to seduce me? I have a man's.
A man's? You have two man's?
He's so manly that he's practically two.
Sorry, guys. I threw up in my mouth a little bit. Right? What are we talking about today, Brie?
Oh, my God. This one's a fun one. I accidentally have 3 pages of notes before double spacing it, and I always double space it. And I haven't even actually finished my notes. The last bit of my notes is like I made notes, but I didn't reword them to make them easier to read. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So
you're not reading like word for word from something else to actually make it into a story.
Yeah. So I have a okay. It's going to be a bit choppy, guys. I'm sorry. My week got insane. And as I'm getting closer to my wedding, I am getting so fucking frantic. So fucking frantic. I'm sorry. Just today, like, I worked a 10-hour shift, and then I drove all the way down to another location for a 2-hour meeting.
Oh, God. Horrible meeting.
A horrible fucking 2-hour meeting where I learned absolutely nothing. I never learn anything new at those. I've been to too many of them already. Yes. No, we're going to be talking about Gail Palmgren. Palmgren.
Palmgren.
Someday. As always, I'm sorry if I said shit wrong. I'm sorry. As we all are. Literally every true crime podcast I listen to has always gotten reviews about, they didn't take the time to say this right. I'm sorry, I'm not a linguist. I actually haven't gotten any feedback like that yet. I haven't really gotten a lot of feedback at all. I've been trying to check. I haven't gotten any hate emails yet.
That's good.
So, I mean, yeah, sure. Ooh, Holly, what have we been doing on Mondays?
Oh, Munchkin Mondays.
Munchkin Mondays. So we've been sort of teaming up with another podcast group.
Bloodhaven.
Do you want to drop any link, like any plugs for that? Because I don't remember all of the...
Oh, God. Well, there's Bloodhaven, just the regular website. Mm-hmm. He's on YouTube. It is BLUHDHAVEN, Bloodhaven? Is that right?
I think it sounds right.
Yeah.
But they do a whole bunch of stuff, one of which was on Mondays, they live stream via Twitch a group of people playing a game called Munchkin. And Kyle and I both have been on the last 2 weeks' episodes, and we will be returning this Monday. So actually, I'm probably going to end up posting this. And right as I post this, we're going to probably be walking into Munchkins, because I always post on Mondays.
Yeah, it's a tabletop RPG. We kind of play things a little bit differently to get the crowd, people in chat kind of interactive with it.
Yeah, so like if you end up popping into the stream, you can drop...
They're called bits.
Yeah, like you can drop bits to change the game. Last game, I had a really well-built character, and somebody dropped enough bits to put in a secret rule that if I tried using any of my, special actions that I get using my cards, that I get sent back a level.
The go up a level card, yep.
No, not the go up a level card.
No?
There was a secret one against just me. And it was the first time I used a specific card in my character builds to go up a level. I have to go back down that level. Or no, I went down two levels.
You're the dark something, something, something.
Yeah. So I had a lot. My character was really well built, and somebody decided they didn't like that. So they penalized me for it, which I thought was absolutely fucking hilarious.
It's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
We argue a lot, too.
At one point in time, somebody's mom dropped in chat and donated stuff to make us stand up and do the Macarena.
Was it
the Macarena? Was it YMCA?
Something. It was something. That was last week.
Was it the Chicken Dance?
It was last week. I think it was.
It was something. Like, they made us stand up and dance. Like, it was really funny. But, yeah. You can catch us on that. And I will get the link from you for their main website and put it in the show notes too.
Okay, that works.
So yeah, I highly doubt we have a big enough following to get them any extra.
Yeah, you never know.
But hey, we are at a whopping 550 something plays.
Yeah. Oh wow.
So that feels good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
But if you're interested in like tabletop RPGs, video gaming, streaming, podcasting, LARPing, they do a role-playing type thing.
They do, like dramatic action reads, too, right?
Yeah.
Where they're doing, storytelling.
But they're actually, like, role-playing the roles.
I want to see about that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It'll be on the website. We'll put it all on there, guys. Put it all on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you enjoy Casual Casualties, then you'll most definitely enjoy watching Balfour play video games and us arguing about stuff on Mondays.
Absolutely. And you'll be able to actually see me and see Auntie Holly and see Kyle on some of these games. I'll go in with my fuck cup, and you guys can see.
She's known as fuck cup on the stream now.
Oh my god, so I have a cup that says, fuck this, fuck that, fuck them, fuck it, fuck you, fuck everything. And it's bright and pink and adorable and filled with glitter. And my boss's wife actually made it for me. Mm-hmm. But I made a comment partway through the game because someone said, I need some water. And I was like, oh, you can drink out of my fuck cup if you want. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? And Belle stopped for a second to look at it and show it to the camera. And at the very end, when I won, because I'm that cool.
Mm-hmm. By default.
Shh. Doesn't matter how I won, it counts.
Uh-huh.
But when I won, we had somebody in chat going, wait, I'm confused. Fuck cup won?
Yep.
So yeah, that was cool. Good times. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so you tried getting me on topic earlier and I fucked it up.
I did, it's okay. I did my part, okay.
You tried, it's okay. We are going to be talking about Gail Palmgren, who went missing April 30th of 2011.
It wasn't too long ago.
Not too long at all. So she was born March 18th, 1967. Which makes her a Pisces, which are definitely the best people.
Obviously, you never dated a Pisces.
I am lovely. Mm-hmm. Says the girl who was trying to seduce me not even 10 minutes ago. Like, fuck off.
I'm also a little bit bored.
Truth. As long as you're not a Gemini, I don't care.
Fact. Nothing worse than a Gemini.
Sorry, I'm sorry, guys. Geminis. It's not your fault. My mom was a Gemini and she ruined all of you for me.
That's about right.
Blame it on the childhood trauma. It always works.
There you go. What are they going to say? Tell you you're wrong.
Well, apparently Geminis are very oftentimes hated, but every single time I, like, jokingly look up it, every astrology thing says Pisces and Geminis should never mix. Anyways, okay. that was really off topic. You have your pen now? You're good to doodle?
We're good to go.
Okay, that's a pink pen, too. No. So
it's not actually pink, though.
Oh.
Yeah, rip off.
Fucking lame.
Right? Mama's Hawaiian barbecue.
Oh, so I stole it, so I guess that's fair. Never been. I don't like barbecue. How did I steal it, though?
Who knows?
Weird.
Work.
Maybe. Yeah. Stop saying that.
I know, I'm sorry.
The cult?
The cult. You can edit it out.
They're gonna find out if they watch the Bloodhaven stream anyways.
I mean, true.
Because we don't guard that information with Bloodhaven, I guess. And there's how many of us there that actually work for the cult? Four?
Four of us, yeah.
Four of us that work for the cult on Mondays?
Yeah.
It's a cult, you guys. Like, even when we try to make friends outside of it, we always end up just hanging out with each other. It's scary.
Fact.
I was talking with somebody in our meeting today, and we joked about how you basically have to have ADD to work with the cult because of all of the things that they require of you. All of the, like, split attention shit. Like,
you mean time management and sense of urgency?
No, I'm talking about multitasking.
Time management and sense of urgency.
Carrying multiple conversations at the same time.
Time management. I say that like 100 times a week.
Manage your fucking time already. Okay. Fuck. Anyways. We haven't even gotten past the first bullet.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, I'm gonna start over.
Okay. Start from the very beginning and we'll X out the rest.
No, of course not. It'll all be there. People can just listen to me twice because they love me so much. I'm kidding. Please don't leave. Alrighty, so Gail Palmgren. I'm so worried I'm saying that wrong. Again, born March 18th, 1967, as a Pisces in New York. Her maiden name was Nowacki, and her parents were Robert Nowacki and Lorraine Nowacki. She ends up having three siblings. Okay. So, fun family.
That's four too many kids.
That is four too many kids. So she attended and ends up graduating from Williamsville East High School in 1985, moves on to attend University of Buffalo, where she completes a degree in biochemical pharmacology in 1990.
Interesting.
She a smart bitch.
Yeah.
Nova Southeastern University of Florida ends up giving her doctorates of pharmacology in 1995.
Well, so she's one of those smart people.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm not doc. It's not doctorates. It's quote unquote doctor of pharmacology in 1995. I'm not sure if that is a doctorate's
degree,
which is typically an 8-year degree, or if doctor of pharmacology quote unquote is the title of the degree.
Not sure. Could be.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, pharmacology isn't that like.
If I was good at
pills and stuff.
Yeah. If I was good at my job, I definitely would have. Looked into that, but again, I'm really sorry, but I've been really scattered lately. So Nova Southeastern University gives her that doctor of pharmacology in 1995. Now, I wasn't able to find the exact details of her relationship. However, at some point, Gail does eventually meet and marry a man named Matt Pilgrim, hence the Pilgrim Palmgren, which again, also shows the name change. And while married to this man, they end up having two children, Jared and Lorraine. So, all hunky-dory, she's got her cute little family. Gail eventually finds herself living in Kentucky with her husband and two children, where she's working as a successful pharmaceutical rep for a company called Novartis. N-O-V-A-R-T-I-S. Novartis?
Yeah,
sure. Okay. Novartis. So, Novartis Pharmaceuticals. This job has her traveling really frequently through Alabama and Florida. And these travels make this cute little lake home that they bought in Montgomery a really comfortable retreat for Gail. And like when she's traveling, sometimes she'll stop off there and have like a day or two to herself, or like she'll use it as like a base to get to and from her travels, you know, make it a little bit easier for her to travel. And while living there, she ends up meeting a somewhat neighbor of the house named Arlene. So they end up becoming really, really good friends. They're talking multiple times a day, like best friends at first sight. It immediately takes off. Now,
Good for them.
a lot of the information that we do have of a lot of Gail's personal life and like the last day leading up to her disappearance comes from Arlene. So a lot of this information is given to us from Arlene because she spoke with Gail so frequently and had so much information and insight into her life. July 2009, Matt takes a job in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You die? Just in case you didn't, that's Kenza in the background being antisocial.
Yeah.
That's all you're gonna get out of her, sorry.
Yeah, basically.
She's on vacation. She doesn't feel like being.
Fucking vacation.
Ugh, I'm so mad. You guys are lucky.
You just went on vacation.
I went on a 3-day vacation, not
I'll
even.
go on a 5-day vacation. Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm fidgeting. Okay, I'll
If
start
you're gonna
doing like.
fidget with quiet stuff. Thank you.
There's literally nothing quiet in this room, guys. I'm just gonna doodle. It's fine. All
I'm
right.
sorry. Alrighty, so July 2009, again, Matt relocates the family to Chattanooga, Tennessee, working with his company, the Blue with Blue Cross as the director, or okay, are you ready for this name? Are you
Oh
ready?
God, I'm scared.
The director of pharmacy programs for its government business and emerging market business unit.
God, that wouldn't even fit on like a plaque or anything.
Like,
Like,
what even is
how do you even
that?
shorten that?
I don't know.
Oh God.
So, in other words, he thought he was more important than he was.
Basically,
No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. Maybe. I don't
He had a couple extra names in there.
know.
Probably got paid an extra $25,000 a word or something.
I fucking wish. So, obviously, moving down to Tennessee is kind of a big move for the family. They do end up getting like a really like a nice cute little house. Like a nice house. A nice house. For the family to live in. And this move, I'm assuming, is probably the root of it, but at some point the couple does start to kind of hit rough patches together. We don't know a lot of the details of these initial rough patches, but Gail kind of starts to tell Arlene of growing problems in their marriage, unfortunately. So, the summer before her disappearance, however, Gail wins an Italy vacation for two through her company. And so, her and her husband go on a vacation to Italy, which kind of sounds exactly like what you'd want to kind of get back on track when your wedding's or wedding, when your marriage is starting to kind of fray a little
Be a little
bit.
rocky,
Yeah,
yeah.
you have a nice vacation and like have some good memories together, drink a lot, maybe have some good sex, and then you come back and you're good, right?
No,
No.
that's not what that, I guess that's not what happened.
No, unfortunately, when Arlene does finally get in touch with Gail is really quote unquote downcast. And so Arlene says, "Ooh, bad, huh?" And Gail responds with really bad. So like that's in like quotes in the research that I did, that Gail said that the trip was really bad. So again, I don't know exactly how it was really bad, but it was quote unquote really bad. Really bad. Less than a year later, Gail's company experiences some massive layoffs. She survives the first round, they keep her. But then the second round that happens a little later, a little more than a month later, she ends up getting cut. Granted, they give her a great severance package, and she'd worked with them for quite some time, so she's got a good amount of like retirement saved up. And this company really had her traveling a lot. She's got two kids, and she was really ready to kind of not be traveling anymore anyways. So she didn't really see this as a bad thing. Unfortunately, however, that means financial issues.
Well, yeah, no job, no
Yeah,
money.
when you go from two like a dual income house to just one, those bills suddenly look a lot bigger, especially when you have two kids to take care of.
Yeah, definitely. Expensive brat. Oops, sorry.
Auntie Holly,
Yeah.
how many times a week do you hound me to produce gremlins for you to
to dote on?
To be Auntie Holly.
Okay, and?
Yeah.
You know how much money aunties spend on kids?
Not as much as
mom does. I currently am an auntie, and let me tell you, it's expensive.
Not as much as mom does. And I'll have to push one out of my, you know, hoo-ha. So there's that. Anywho.
Sitting over here, requesting the world of me, when you yourself wouldn't even think of it. How dare
it's
you?
It's not my fault I'm a lesbian.
Okay, and? You know, science means you could still get pregnant, right?
Yeah, but that costs a lot of money.
Okay, moving on.
In some states, won't even let you do it, so.
Truth.
Yeah.
Moving on. Okay. Anywho. In kind of an attempt to fix this financial situation, Gail finds a pharmaceutical job in Atlanta. But Matt, her husband, is really not fond of the idea and eventually just kind of pushes her to decide against taking it.
Okay.
But, again, not only do they have financial troubles, but all of those earlier marital troubles are now multiplying.
Multiplied, yep.
Because there was already problems to begin with, and now you have money as an issue, and it's just gonna spiral, unfortunately.
That strains any relationship.
Right. Again, I don't have a lot of immediate details on this early... Oh, hi, Fatso. Okay, fine, whatever. The cat just walked up and headbutted me and walked away. Like, he just wanted to be like, bitch, and then walk away.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah, that was a monster. That's the asshole who knocked up my baby. Oh, but he'll go say hi to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alright, so... So, we're starting to finally get into a little bit more detail, I guess, when it comes to their marital issues. And it all starts, essentially, with the same week that Arlene gets laid off, their family dog, Dottie. Cute. Dottie. Who the fuck? It's adorable. Okay, it sounds like an old school, like...
They have some small little shit dog.
I don't know the breed. I tried Valiant. Maybe that's why I didn't finish my... research is because I spent so much time trying to figure out what their dog was. So Dottie gets loose.
No, Dottie.
And apparently this enrages Matt so far, like, that it leads between, like, an outraged fight between the two of them. Screaming and yelling. Fight. Between the two of them.
Must have been an expensive dog.
I guess. At some point in time during this fight, Gail tells him that she can't take it anymore and that she wants to leave.
Good for her.
And he... either doesn't take it well or what, but she ends up retreating to the bedroom where he then rips the door off of its hinges.
Damn.
Yeah.
Somebody has issues.
Yeah. So, from then on out, there's, like, another account at some point of Gail going to visit Arlene, and Gail has a black eye. When Arlene asks Gail about it, Gail says, "I ran into the door."
Mm-hmm.
And then Arlene chooses not to press her any further. Probably because Arlene knows it's absolute bullshit.
Right.
However, being the good friend that she is, wasn't going to try and push her friend before her friend was ready.
Right.
Hopefully. I don't know. I might be putting words in her mouth, but...
Right.
So, a little further on, Arlene recounts Matt and Gail goes to this wedding. And... it's a little bit out of town where they end up staying at this cute little hotel on a beach. And Gail complained that Matt drank heavily the entire time and spent almost all of his free time walking on the beach, quote-unquote, out of earshot. Which, again, it didn't say this, but my brain immediately autofills. Was he on the phone this time? Because if she's complaining he's out of earshot, that makes it sound like he's talking. And he's not just talking to himself, I'm assuming.
He could be.
He could be.
You never know.
Some people aren't just that brand of weird.
Something I would do.
I don't talk to myself. I talk to the moon.
There you go. That works. I talk to myself.
Fair.
I am the moon, bitch.
So I, when I was a teacher, I used to tell all the little kids that bees are fairies in disguise so that my daycare kids would not attack the bees and therefore would not get stung and therefore I wouldn't have to do the paperwork. Also, save the bees, guys. Like, they important, yo. But,
kill them all.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You like flowers? You like honey?
I do. Depends on the honey.
Jesus Christ. But I was also the only classroom for like 3 summers in a row who never had a kid get stung by a bee. Just saying.
Hey, whatever works.
But I continued that with my niece.
told her that bees are fairies in disguise. And now when I walk with her through my apartment complex, she'll stop and talk to all of the bugs like they're fairies.
That's adorable.
I know. My soul crawls straight out of my chest every single time. I can't breathe. It's adorable. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hormones get a little crazy.
Fuck off. God damn it.
That was inappropriate.
I don't care. Fight me. Okay.
Moving on.
So this wedding kind of tips Gale off a little bit as to some deeper issues in the marriage. And not too long after this, Gale confides in Arlene that she believes that Matt is having an affair.
No shit.
Now, no. Matt is a very private man. All of his electronics are heavily password protected, and Gale obviously has no access to any of that. However, one night, she was able to kind of, like, snoop on him and notice what his cell phone password was.
Wait, and she's married to him and she doesn't know what a cell phone password is?
Yeah.
What if, like, something happens and
she doesn't know his cell phone password, she doesn't know his computer password, she doesn't know his email password, none of it.
Well, no shit, honey, he's cheating on you. Like, hot damn.
I don't know any of Kyle's passwords at all except for his phone. And he literally has a document on his phone that has all of the passwords for everything.
Same.
And he has a copy of it, I think, with his mom or whatever. And I was like, why do you do that? He's like, well, in case I die, that way you know how to pay bills. And I was like, see, like, first of all, please don't plan to die because I can't handle that. Also, secondly, am I really that inept when it comes to paying bills that you feel the need to leave a cheat sheet with your mother?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Makes sense. I should probably do the same thing. Oh, sorry, babe.
She gets a hold of his phone password. I don't know if she was just being sneaky or what, but she notices him type it in one night and then is able to, I guess when he doesn't have his phone attached to him, go through it. And while going through it, she finds some schmucksy text messages between him and a high-ranking coworker of his. This person I have chosen to not name because, like, there's no reason to drag that name through the dirt. Like, this person had been recently divorced, and we don't know what he was telling her.
Right.
We don't know that, and I choose not to drag that name.
Whether they were aware of it or not, yeah.
Because I don't know the full situation when it comes to the affair. For all I know, he told her, oh yeah, we're already separated. Oh yeah, we're separating, like, whatever. Or maybe this person knew and didn't give a fuck, but...
Either way.
This person was a female that worked with him, like, above him, and had been recently divorced. That's what I know, and that's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Anything beyond that, well, y'all can do your own research. It's not that hard to find her name if you wanted to. Alrighty, so this schmexy conversations obviously sends Gale into a full tailspin.
Oh, I bet.
Full tailspin.
Here's your shit.
Yes, so, but she's clever about it. She doesn't confront him, but what she does do is begin to compile a list of all of the information she can find, paper copies of all of the information that she can find. She goes into his Hilton Honors records and finds records of all of the hotels that he gets, like the ones in town on days when he should have been at work, like the ones on her side of town, like the ones when he's already at a hotel in a conference outside of town, but he got a secondary hotel off location. For some reason.
Yes. He just likes to stay at hotels, right?
Uh-huh, totally. Yeah, uh-huh. So she gets lists of all of this. She also checks all of their bank records to find out that he's been withdrawing $400 weekly out of ATMs. Remember what I said earlier about financial troubles? At some point in time, he requests that Gale removes $20,000 from her retirement. And she obliges. That money lasted him less than a week before he's asking her to pull out more money.
What the hell?
Like, I don't know about you, but, like, if I knew that he was cheating, I would have been like, pull it from your own, bitch. Like, no.
Yeah, but if she's building all this case against him, I mean.
I don't know.
He forced me to withdraw my own money and then went and spent it on someone else. We want prenup.
No, so, again, she's doing this all very secretively. I'm not sure how aware he is of the situation. So he may not know that she is getting ready to nail his ass to the wall.
Right.
So, she then hires a private investigator to follow Matt. And this private investigator is able to confirm the affair. All of that information Gail uncovers, and the private investigator's information, she compiles paper copies of, and then mails it to her friend Arlene so that it's safe. She's smart. Clever. She's such a clever girl.
Very.
So, again, she chooses not to confront Matt yet. April 23rd, the family has a trip to Lake Jordan planned, which is where they have their little lake house that I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Now, so, they have a lake house on one side of the lake, and then a secondary house on the other side of the lake. That secondary house is the one that Arlene and Gail meet and are friends with. Because of that secondary location. So the first one is on the other side of the lake. And that kind of comes into play a little bit later. Now, the 23rd, the family had planned a trip to this lake. Gail and her children drove down first to their house on the other side of the lake, away from Arlene. And at some point in time, Gail calls Arlene. She's like, can you please come get us? I'm scared. I'm upset. Like, come get us. And Arlene couldn't. But Arlene did send Matt, which, from my understandings, is like a significant other of hers. It's not her husband because she has been divorced already. Okay. So maybe it's like a boyfriend or maybe she got remarried. I'm not sure entirely of that relationship, but her and Matt are close. She sends Matt to go get them. However, by the time Matt goes to get them, she's already just decided to pack up her kids and leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was ready to get the fuck out.
She was done. Now, so she didn't go home, though. She went to stay with a friend in Birmingham. While with this friend in Birmingham, Gail leaves jewelry, both her own and her mother's, with this friend. Which is odd to me. Like, maybe she was just trying to hide it so that he couldn't get a hold of it and pawn it, maybe?
I mean, I guess, but I mean, if they've already left, how is he supposed to know where they're at?
I don't know.
And they're like,
no, she hasn't left him yet. They were supposed to be on vacation, and he was supposed to join them. So I don't know if he had joined them, and shit went south, and she just needed out of that situation. Dude. Or she was, like, maybe upset that he hadn't joined her yet, when he was supposed to. And she knew he was probably with his other boo.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff. The following week, Matt leaves in order to go to a work-related conference in Minneapolis. See you in a
minute?
I'm afraid to say it now.
Minneapolis.
Thank you. However, he never actually shows up to the conference. He apparently ended up ditching the conference to meet up with his mistress at another location, and they ended up driving back to Chattanooga together early. So he wasn't supposed to come in until 11:30 p.m. Friday night, but he ended up returning at, like, noon. Now, while he was gone for 2 or 3 days, he only calls his wife once, and on that one phone call, he tells her that he's leaving her. He tells her that he's going to be filing for separation the following Tuesday.
Well, shit.
And her only response... Voicemail? No, he calls her. They talk.
She answers. Okay. Yeah. I mean, still, it's fucked up, but...
Well, her response is, okay.
She's like, I got all this information, bitch. Good luck on that divorce.
So, like, I don't know. I highly doubt she actually told him that she has this information. I don't know what all transpired in this phone call. However, he is going to separate from her, and she is okay with it. So... April 29th, 2011, the day before her disappearance. Gail calls Arlene to inform her that Gail and the children are on their way to the lake house and asks if Arlene is able to meet them in town. Apparently, earlier that day, the police had been called to Gail's home for, like, the third time that week due to, quote-unquote, domestic reasons.
Fighting.
Now, the plan was to have Matt come down later to inform the children of the separation. And Gail and Arlene spent the night together preparing for Mike's 50th birthday party that was supposed to happen on the 30th the next day. And in Arlene's words, Gail was quiet. There we go. So, in other words, Gail was really quiet, and it just wasn't really normal for her. And, like, this is one of the last moments that Arlene actually really sees Gail before she disappears. The next morning, she drops off the kids at the house. And then she... So, like, the next day, she picks up, like, she takes the kids from the lake house, drops them off at home. And she takes her red Rubicon with a cute little, like, Life is Good tire cover over with the Goofy emblem.
Of course.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So, like, neighbors were trying to wave at her and everything, but she just is, like, dead, like, paying attention on the road ahead of her, obviously heavily focused on something. Now, Arlene, she didn't hear from Gail at all on Sunday. And it was kind of odd that she didn't answer at all the entire day. Especially after, like, everything that's getting ready to happen in her life.
The separation.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's definitely something that Gail would have, you know, reached out with her friend and, you know, found comfort in some conversation with her friend. She never answered, though. And she thought that was really weird. And so she called the house, and Matt said, oh, yeah, she just dropped off the kids and left. That's all, like, so she can't get a hold of her friend. She calls the house. The soon-to-be ex-husband answers, oh, she just dropped off the kids and left. I don't know. But by Wednesday, Arlene is super worried. She can't get a hold of, she can't get a hold of Gail, and she's really, really concerned. It took more than 2 days before Matt finally announced that his wife was missing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
He's probably already moving in the other chick.
She goes missing on Sunday. He doesn't really hear from her. She drops off the kids and leaves, and that's it. Never hears from her again. It takes him 2 days before he's finally like, something's wrong here, and reports her missing. Now Arlene calls him. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, well, she's missing. I don't know. And she's like, well, what are you doing? Why did it take you 2 days to report your wife missing? Albeit, yeah, she's about to be your ex-wife, but still, 2 days.
Right, it's the mother of your children, bro.
Exactly. And, like, she, like, yells at him, telling him that he's not doing the right thing, essentially. And he responds to her saying, you're making this very complicated. So... What is she making complicated, my dude? She's trying to find her friend. What are you not doing?
Right. Where are you hiding?
Exactly. So, without missing a beat, Arlene takes all of this information that Gail has left with her. All of the evidence of his cheating, everything. The bank records, everything. She takes it to the police. She's like, hey, by the way, here we go.
Here's all the stuff on
that. Yes. So she drops off all this information, and they interview her, and she gives anything and everything she can. Anything and everything she can. And like I said, she's the reason why we have so much of this information. She asks the detectives why they haven't even started to make a search of the home yet. And like, she's really the driving force of this investigation for a lot of reasons. But she also starts to carry out her own investigation.
All right, Arlene. Get it, girl.
She got, like, the cell phone and work phone information of the mistress and continued to call this mistress. Granted, this mistress never fucking answered.
Oh, well, of course.
Can't say I blame her, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, some random chicks harassing you.
Yeah. She goes out to speak to the ex-husband of the mistress. And his response is, I didn't even hear about the affair until everyone called me. I don't know. So I wonder how long this affair has been going on, if it happened before her divorce even.
Yeah, that's what ended hers.
Yeah, so he's like, I didn't even know there was an affair. I'm sorry. She drives down to Batesville and rode by this mistress's house.
She's like driving by real slowly, all of a sudden looking out the window.
She goes down to Jeep dealers, which is like her Jeep was a Jeep. Her vehicle was a Jeep, to find that the red that she had was a really unpopular color. It was
maybe one every 200 miles.
Oh, wow.
Like, so it was really unpopular. So she's out there trying to go out, get searches for her Jeep done, because it's a really rare car.
You'd be able to spot that.
Yeah, you'd be able to spot it super easily. But you see, the thing is this Jeep has not been seen since. She left that house and she never, like, the Jeep has never been seen again. You, like, one of the quotes from her is, you can't make a 2010 Rubicon just poof into thin air. You can't do it. So she's heavily convinced that there's some kind of outside work going on here.
Something's going, Unless she drove into Mexico or something.
She is under no guise, though. She understands that Gail's dead. She's dead. But she's pushing so hard because she's like, there's definitely some fucking foul play here. There's definitely foul play. It gets down to the point where she's been missing for over 6 weeks. Her family is putting together searches. Police can't, like, they have no idea what the fuck is going on. There's no evidence of foul play in the house. Nothing.
She's just gone.
She's just nothing. But, of course, news of the affair hits everything, and everyone is losing their mind. Everyone is fully convinced he did it.
Even I'm kind of convinced he did it, okay?
Yeah, you think he did it?
It's always the husband.
Well, then how do you do it?
The vehicle was in the garage the whole time.
Yeah, because detectives wouldn't look in the garage.
I got nothing.
Okay, cool.
I guess I'll just wait for the end.
So, poor Eileen, though. She's like, I can't sleep. I can't eat. I've lost 27 pounds since this all started. It's bad when you have no closure. It's the not knowing that just really bothers you. And so that's one of the interviews that she's done. She goes missing on the 30th. They don't report it until May 2nd.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so 8 months of worrying, of stressing, of persecuting this man in the news and everything. And finally, they find her. So December 2nd, which was a Thursday, they find her red Rubicon Jeep several hundred feet off a steep cliff on Signal Mountain, which is where they lived. They lived up Signal Mountain. And so she was miles away from home the entire time. Her, at some point in time, while driving, the sheriff say that that it looked as if she had, like, to overcorrect for some reason. And in doing so, it sent her off the side of the mountain. And she tumbled down quite a ways away, and in doing so obviously buried her car in a bunch of brush and a bunch of landfall and everything. And that was it. That's all she wrote.
Damn.
So
you tell me that they didn't search for someone who was just in an argument, and like that they didn't wreck their vehicle. I mean, that's pretty.
So now, to be fair, like, in here, I can try and kind of show it to you here. That is the picture of the Jeep. Like, can you see that that is actually a Jeep, though?
I can't see anything.
Exactly. That's all they saw, was the black underbottom.
Oh.
That doesn't even look like a car.
Damn. You're right, you're right.
So, yeah, all of this build up to looking like the husband definitely fucking did it, just to find out that she got in a car accident, and it took them 8 months to find her, and it's just, like, it's heartbreaking. So, they found it. They found this Jeep, and it was obviously her Jeep, and they found a body, and it was most likely her body, but it took them almost a week to confirm. Now, like, they released things saying, like, her Jeep was found and a body was found, and the personal items on the body indicate that it is this missing mom. The cell phone was found inside the vehicle, and her purse with her ID were located nearby. But, like, it took them forever to actually fully confirm that it was her.
But, like, DNA and everything.
But, like, that's so excruciating for the family.
Yeah.
Because she has, her dad and mom and one of her siblings has already passed away at this point. But she has two remaining siblings who
have been like organizing searches and putting up Facebook sites and advocating to try and find her, advocating to have her husband persecuted, advocating to just keep her name out there, to keep people looking for her. Who knows? Like, things like this could have happened. Things like she could have gotten kidnapped. Things like, who knows what? Like, right. Someone doesn't just disappear into thin air. Something happened.
Yeah.
And they're out there working for her. And so is Arlene. Just to find out that she was upset and crashed.
Yeah.
And it took them 8 months to find her.
So they never, like, try to, like, press charges against the husband or...
To be fair, when it comes to that kind of stuff, like, it could take upwards of 2 years.
Yeah.
Before a court case is fully put together. And without a body, there's nothing they can do.
I mean, true. Yeah. They can't just be like, oh, well, she's missing, so it was you.
So, like, when it comes to a court case, they need motive, they need a body, and they likely need the weapon.
Yeah.
Without... They got the motive, for sure. Yeah. But there's no body, and there's no way of death. So there's no way that they could have formed a case behind him. Right. Meanwhile, this guy is trying to single parent his kids. Which,
through all that.
Imagine all of the upturn that happened in their life. First they find out their parents are getting divorced, then their mom just disappears.
Basically in the same day.
Yeah. Like, it's so traumatizing.
Poor kids.
So they ended up...
She was found, though.
Yeah, they do find her. It took them 8 months, though. That kills me. 8 months of her remains being out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, her body was not found in the Jeep. She survived the crash. And then her body was found, like, 100 yards off.
She tried to get away.
Well, okay, I may be wrong. She could have gotten ejected. Ejected from the car. But it didn't sound like that. So, the car is, like, resting... on its side against an uprooted tree, and so the black bottom of the car is what's seen from like the up above road. And like it looks like she wasn't wearing her seatbelt when it happened, so it very well could have been she had just gotten ejected from the car.
I mean, yeah, if you hit going off there, you're gonna go right through your windshield.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if she would have been in the vehicle when it went down and flipped like that,
yeah,
there was no getting out of that.
No.
So she had to have been thrown.
It's likely.
Unless an animal, like...
That is also a possibility. An animal could have crawled in there and got a hold of her.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways.
Yeah.
But then, like, at the same time, like, how hard would it be just to imagine somebody doing something to her car? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my imagination wants to play with this so much more than just, she was upset and crashed.
What if it was Arlene?
Oh, Arlene was really the mistress the whole time.
Right, that's it.
No, I doubt that.
I highly doubt that, too. Especially since she turned all that information in.
Oh, my God, and she was advocating so heavily. Yeah. No. She's like, well, this information doesn't incriminate me, so yeah, sure. Let's let some other bitch take the fall.
Right?
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I guess you can't always blame the husband, you know? But when they're having an affair, it's kind of like...
I like playing devil's advocate, because this is, like, the second or third case that I've presented where I'm like, but did the husband do it?
Like, the last one we did.
The last one, I definitely think he did it, but...
Oh, yeah, he did it. I mean, he admitted guilt to it, so he did it.
Technically, not really.
Technicalities.
Yeah.
That is our legal system.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it just, in the investigation, they say that it appears that she lost control of her Jeep. Hi, Chitlin. You're jealous of my pillow fort, I know it.
No, I was just confused because I thought you'd be asleep, but I forgot that you don't want to pretend. And that day's not Friday.
You want to say hi? We're recording.
Hi.
Okay, now go away.
Yeah.
Bye. 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 Alrighty. Oh, it is getting pretty late. I need to start getting ready for work. So, yeah, no, that is actually the end of my information, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I, like, wrecked the delivery, though. I could have built that up way better if I'd actually finished my notes. I'm sorry.
Well, it was an interesting story. And it wasn't, like, murder. It's just a...
Yeah, it's a casual casualty.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't very casual. She kind of, you know, smashed and blew up into the ground. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, who knows? She could have done it with a little bit of more finesse than just that.
Maybe, like, as she was, like, falling, she was, like, doing, like, Vogue or something.
Yeah, she was a really pretty lady, so probably.
Yeah. I mean, if I was flying out of a car,
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know it.
See how I just made things awkward like that? Thank you.
Beautiful. I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Look.
Okay. Only an hour.
Well, it's going to have to cut down a little bit more than that, because I have to remove all of the times that you actually named our cult by name.
Only once.
And then I have to pull out all of the work names, too. Because we talked about coworkers and meetings. Oh, yeah. So I have to pull out the chunk where we talked about meetings.
Oh.
And certain coworkers who are chatty or not chatty.
So 45 minutes is not bad.
Not bad at all.
Ish.
Yeah.
45, 50.
Well, that's what an average episode is supposed to look like. We just fucked it up and recorded for 2.5 hours last time. And then I had to cut out so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. Cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So, where can they check this out at?
Oh, yeah. So, we have an email, an Instagram, a Patreon, and a Flatter. The email, send us some of your spooky shit. You got any personal stories, any personal connections to stories, any hometown stories? You have any requests that you want us to cover? You want to yell at us and tell us that we suck at our job. That's cool, too. Send us an email.
I'm used to that.
CasualCasualtiesPodcast@gmail.com. It will be linked in the show notes. We also have that Instagram account where I really suck at it, but I'm trying to get better about putting show notes in there, pictures of people and shit. I never post anything gruesome, I promise. You can also catch, every so often I'll post that we're going to be on Bloodhaven's stream, so I'll post that there. So if you ever did want to get in on that and see that, you can do that.
I'll post Twitch. It. We stream on Twitch.
They stream on Twitch, and I usually post on my Instagram right before we start streaming.
Same. I post it on Facebook, so.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you love us so thoroughly that you want to donate to us so that we can not be sitting in a pillow fort every single time we record,
yeah.
You can do so with Patreon and Flatter. Patreon has extra content on it. We have a $3 and a $5 level with variant levels of extra content for you to view. Right now, the only Patreon I have is my aunt. I love you, Aunt Mary.
Thanks, Aunt Mary. We appreciate you.
So there's that. If you want to support us, but you ain't got the money, which, honey, I fucking feel it.
We get it.
Like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
What you can do instead is like, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. Tell your coworkers, tell your family, whatever you want to do there.
Share it.
Just help us kind of get out and about right now. We have, on average, about 13 to 16 views a week.
That's
what we've been doing, with an average of about 11 individual audience, views going on. So not very big at all, but that's okay. We're growing. We're getting there.
We're getting there. That's all that matters. We got to figure it out, too.
Yeah, so... Holly is way better at the whole, social media aspect of it all. So, I'm halfway...
Which is surprising.
I'm halfway tempted just to give her the Instagram handle and let her fucking deal with it, because I'm an old lady at heart and haven't used social media in, like 6 years.
She's better. She's young.
She's young. Do you want to be our unpaid intern? Nervous sure. chuckle because she doesn't want to say no.
But she really doesn't
want to
do it. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Cool.
Definitely.
Well said. Interesting story, Brie. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you popping in. So they have been officially on vacation for
Since 7 a.m. this morning.
For a good 12, 13 hours, mm-hmm. but they stopped their vacation dead in its tracks to come record with me because definitely. I'm needy.
Yeah, we leave for Cancun tomorrow. Don't expect to hear from me. If you guys heard that, that was her neck cracking. Okay, I heard that in my headphones.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us on our casual crusade.
I like it.
Don't look so proud. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yay!